Why is this world so filled with injustice and poverty and senseless violence and struggle for power and brokenness and evil? Why? How do we keep hanging on? How do we continue to be faithful? Life is hard, God. Why don't you just get rid of those weeds so that I may grow and thrive and live among the wheat? Maybe sometimes you think that way. I do.
That's the Reverend Susanna Davis, and today she brings you a challenging message entitled, To Weed or Not to Weed. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Susanna Davis, Senior Minister of Kirkwood United Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia. Susanna attended Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia, and from there moved to Atlanta to earn her Master of Divinity degree from Candler School of Theology at Emory University. After graduation, she was ordained in the United Methodist Church and served churches and agencies in the North Georgia Conference for 11 years, before receiving a call to start a new church with the United Church of Christ in 2006. She serves as a teacher in the contextual education program at Candler School of Theology, as well as on the Candler Alumni Board. Susanna, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. I'm glad to be here.
10 years or so ago, you began to gather folks in the Kirkwood and neighboring communities, but it wasn't in a church. I love this story. Share it with us.
Well, I had spent a lot of time in the coffee shop in my ministry, mm-hmm. visiting with people, writing sermons, and connecting with folks in different ways. And so I imagined what a community of faith beginning in a coffee shop might look like. At times, that was as far as any vision or hope could go, but bought a coffee shop in Kirkwood and began to welcome people. Our number one priority was that they really enjoyed coffee, because we needed them to enjoy coffee to make this coffee shop successful. But over the years, we got to know folks and began to invite them to worship, to pray, to be together in community.
And you still serve coffee.
And we still serve coffee.
And now after 5 different locations, you've recently moved into a new sanctuary and a permanent home for your life together and for community ministry. What sorts of things are happening now at Kirkwood?
Well, most recently, we just worshiped for the very first time in our new sanctuary, and it was an exciting day. We have been working toward this, all of us, so many people in so many different ways, offering their gifts and talents themselves, their time. And so for that to culminate in a time of worship with most everyone present was just, it was thrilling. It was. And so in many ways, I'm sure along with the congregation, all of us are looking forward to what happens, how ministry can take place in this new building. We've been so focused on getting the new building going. So we're all looking forward to what's going to happen in that place.
How would you describe the community, Kirkwood?
It has grown over the past 10 years in many different ways. It has, as many of communities around us, it has become more and more gentrified over the years. And there's been joy and pain in that transition for everyone, I do believe. The church has been able to be a pretty steady presence in that community, and I'm overwhelmingly thankful for that. But I think one of the gifts of Kirkwood is that we do seek to be a close community, not just the church, but the community in general, and have ways of sharing our life together. I feel thankful for that.
So how will you and your members go from here to determine how to reach out to meet some of the needs in the community?
Sure. You know, I think as transition happens within that community, transition needs to happen within our ministry as well. When we began, we served part of the homeless population that lived in the community of Kirkwood, and that crowd's no longer there, not in the ways that they used to be. So what does that mean for us to revamp our ministry in a way that really responds to the current needs that are there? we've got lots of little kids and sweet families in our neighborhood, and so how do we reach out and respond to them? We have been connected to our local elementary school, Toomer Elementary, and that has been a great joy for us and a hope for the school as well. So we will continue to work on ways to be connected to them.
So do you see the model that you set for planning Kirkwood United Church of Christ something others might consider to begin a new work, particularly in an urban setting?
Sure. And I think that's been happening. I mean, I think people have been figuring out ways to gather for years as the body of Christ in some meaningful kind of way. And I think that will continue to happen in coffee house settings and bar settings and wherever there is need. I think that the body of Christ will continue to figure out ways to meet that need, share in worship and prayer and service together.
You also serve as a mental health first aid trainer. Tell us about that work.
Sure. Well, it is very exciting work. I share in the training with a member of our church, Catherine Bryan, and we've had the opportunity to train seminary students. We've had the opportunity to train all of those who work for the DeKalb County Library. The training itself is helpful for folks who work with other people, who care about other people. It is, it's not a high-level training, but it is comprehensive in a way that people feel equipped to respond to those in their community who could be suffering with a mental health crisis or maybe an ongoing mental health issue. And it provides a lot of support and can maintain a steady workplace as well, which we've really been a part of.
This past March, Day One honored two of your members as community leaders of faith at our annual benefit, Margaret Graff and Richard Higgins. They have an amazing story of service.
They do. And we met Margaret and Richard, who are amazing philanthropists and good people in this world. We met them at the coffee shop. Margaret would come in the morning for an espresso, and if she would get there early enough, it would just be the two of us and our coffee. Her espresso turned into our coffee talk, and from there, they began to worship with us and serve with us in different ways. They have been such a steady part of our life together at Kirkwood UCC, but they have become a steady part of so many other lives and organizations who have benefited in tremendous ways from their generosity and their kindness.
You grew up in Warrenton, Georgia, instilled with a love of church, family, and community. So how did your calling to ministry unfold?
Well, in Warrenton, Georgia, there's not a lot to do except go to church. And we did, and I loved it. Most all of us loved it, but I feel like I loved it a little bit more. And if there was an opportunity to be up there, to serve in some way, to sing, to share in life together, it was where I wanted to be. And it was where I felt most myself. That community embraced me, gave me opportunity to try out ministry in many different ways and supported me the whole way through. I love those people so much, and I love that church so much. The many, many lives that have been transformed because of that community. I am so grateful.
Well, today your sermon focuses on a well-known parable that Jesus taught and then explained to his disciples. It's from Matthew chapter 13. Would you read it for us?
Sure. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in the gathering of the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them." Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and they will throw them in the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen.
One of the few parables that Jesus actually explains. Susanna, we look forward to hearing more about all this in your sermon, To Weed or Not to Weed. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. To weed or not to weed? That is the question. I've never really been a weed puller. My mother is a weed puller by nature. She can't walk around the yard without bending down to pull a couple of weeds along the way. If you're sitting on the porch visiting with her, she has a hard time simply enjoying the moment because she is looking all around at all of the plants on the porch. She's looking at the ends of those little shoots to see if she can pick them off and make room for new growth. I think it's in her DNA. I have always felt strongly about leaving the weeding to others. Until one long weekend of resodding the yard for a second time, now I pay attention to those weeds. I have turned into a weed puller of sorts. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the weed and the newly planted grass, between the weed and the hopeful flower on the other end, or the weed and the wheat. Jesus' parable for today reminds me that I am not alone in my uncertainty. Jesus is on an agricultural, allegorical storytelling tear in the 13th chapter of Matthew, and he's got plenty to say, and we, at least I, along with the disciples, are in need of some explanation. He tells us about the farmer who plants the good seed, about the enemy who plants the weeds or the bad seed. Darnel is the technical, contemporary term for this bad seed. It's a nightmarish kind of weed. As it grows up, it looks just like the wheat. The two grow together, and it's hard to tell the difference between them. And the farmhands are anxious to get rid of that weed, to save the crop, to care for the wheat. But the farmer says, no, not just yet. Wait, let it be. Let it grow, and when the time is right, we'll know which is what. Then we'll separate them and put the wheat in the barn and the weeds in the fire. And the farmhands listen, and the disciples listen, and the others listen too. And they don't quite get it or want to get it. And so they ask Jesus to explain it. And still, I wonder if they get it. I wonder if I do, if you do. And in Jesus' explanation in that second part of the scripture, it sounds like there's a lot of hellfire and judgment and right and wrong and who's in and who's out and gnashing of teeth, and I don't like it. I'm one of those fairly progressive Christians, and while I understand that gnashing of teeth is a real thing, I'd rather talk about love and grace and peace and kindness, and mostly Jesus moves me right to that place, except when he doesn't, when he causes me great pause and pain even. Out in the county, in the country, where there's enough land for fields to produce, you can see it for miles and miles swaying back and forth, weeds and wheat and weeds. Yes, this is our field of humanity. It always has been. Since the beginning, we have struggled to understand why evil exists in our world. This question of theodicy. How can it be that there are so many weeds when God's creation can fill this world with so much wheat? How can it be that in this country with so many resources, so much ingenuity, so many good people, that there are over 1.5 million homeless people in the United States? 1.5 million hungry, homeless, lonely people in need. How can it be that we who love our world, care about God's good creation, at least say that we do, give in so easily when our natural resources and wonders are at stake? How can we continue to suck up the energy, the oil, the atmosphere, when we know our grandkids and our grandkids' grandkids will suffer? How can it be that we would say, "Yes, Jesus, we will love one another as we have first been loved," and close our borders and build walls? How can we say, "Yes, Jesus, I do love you," and then lock our doors and our minds to the reality of the many refugees who are in need right here, right now, in need of hospitality and hope in their lives? How can it be that we good and faithful Christians know that Jesus made a way, broke down barriers, gave us everything, and still we would find ways to exclude others from the table of grace and love? Why is this world so filled with injustice and poverty and senseless violence and struggle for power and brokenness and evil? Why? How do we keep hanging on? How do we continue to be faithful? Life is hard, God. Why don't you just get rid of those weeds so that I may grow and thrive and live among the wheat? Maybe sometimes you think that way. I do. But I know the truth, and you do too. Humanity's field is full of weeds and wheat. It has been since the beginning, and it will be until the end. There are a lot of wheat folks, and there are a lot of weed folks. And Jesus says, leave them alone. Hands off. Your job is not to judge which is which or who is whom. That part belongs to the patient, present, persistent Prince of Peace. Jesus knows that we can't know in all of our humanness and all of our frailty, even in our hope, who the righteous are and who the wicked are. Or maybe Jesus knows even more so, as we do, as we should, that so often we are both, us, wheat and weed, saint and sinner, sheep and goat, beautiful and broken. This is the truth of our reality. And it doesn't mean that we don't have something to say about it, a way to move in it, through it, to grow in spite of ourselves and others. I know what it feels like to be a faithful, sturdy stalk of wheat. It feels like meaningful relationships with my family and friends. It sounds like shared prayer and fellowship and good music. It tastes like sharing a meal on Soup Saturday at our church with our neighbors and friends who are hungry and in need. And it looks like, well, it looks like a gathering of people who don't look like each other or think like each other or speak like each other or even believe altogether like each other, but love each other, care about each other's well-being. I also know what it feels like to be a mask-wearing, slinky, sly weed. Yuck. It feels pretty lonely. And it sounds like a lot of complaining and a very little of being thankful. It tastes bitter and sour, and it stays, and it looks selfish and the same, just more of the same. My friends, we've all got some weeds in us, and thankfully, we've got some wheat in us too, all intertwined and growing together and connected to one another in the soil of God's heart, in the soil of God's love, in this world where for now we are planted. Dr. King, in his commencement address for Oberlin College entitled Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution, speaks so clearly about our complete connectedness. He says, "All I'm saying is simply this, that all of humanity is tied together, all life is interrelated, and we are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality." Yes, it is, Dr. King. When we recognize and begin to appreciate the reality of our connectedness, it becomes more difficult to judge the person next to you, neighbor or stranger. When our hopes and dreams and hurts and pains become intertwined with those of our friends and our enemies and our co-workers and our family members, we can begin to realize just how much we need each other and the God who holds us together in the good soil, in the faithful growth. That God can manage our needs, our fears, our shortcomings, and our best days. God's creation is for good. We are created in God's very own image, every one of us, beautiful and hopeful. And God's desire for us is to thrive, to live, to become, to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be made whole, to grow and flourish in humanity's faithful field. Our church, Kirkwood United Church of Christ, or KUCC as we claim it, has been together for almost 10 years. We held our first worship service in a coffee shop with 8 to 10 faithful people, and we worshiped for the first time in our new sanctuary just a couple of weeks ago, and it was packed. It's a pretty eclectic crowd. Extraordinary, really. I like to think that we are all wheat all the time. Of course I do. I love them deeply. But I know that's not true altogether because I'm a part of the community and I know firsthand what a weed I can be sometimes. But here's the really remarkable thing. In this community, even in our tackiness, our neediness, our disconnects, and our dissonance, our love for each other and for the other and God's love for us can cover a multitude of weediness. Oh, and that, friends, is good news. I mean, it is the good news. Because there is redemption and life and transformation and grace upon grace in the one who reaps the final harvest, in the one who makes the final judgment. I believe for both the wheat and the weeds, because sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference between the two. My friend Sharon has lived in and around the community of Kirkwood for the past 12 to 15 years. I got to know her at the coffee shop. Over the past 10 years, we have become good friends. Sometimes Sharon has a place to live, sometimes she doesn't. One time Sharon lived in a tent behind our storefront church for almost a year as we tried to find permanent housing. Eventually, she did find a place. It was dry and fairly safe, and she created her home there. But these past couple of months have been tough for her. The owner of the house was ready to sell, and Sharon had to get out in a hurry. She has a couple of kinfolks in the area, but she's burned a lot of bridges over the years, and there's not much they can do or want to do. She is a persistent soul, and often has more expectation of the people around her than she does of herself. Some would say that Sharon is a weed. I might say that sometimes. She ends up on our porch several times a week when she is really struggling. Mostly she needs money for this or that. Or she needs me to drop whatever important task I am doing to take her somewhere. Most recently, it has been to an attorney's office in Midtown on Peachtree with no place to park and no easy way to get there. When she knocked on the door last week, I was at my wit's end. "What is it, Sharon?" I said in a snarly, growly kind of way as I opened the door. "Pastor," that's what she always calls me. "Pastor, sit down," she said. "I've got something to give you." What in the world, I thought, has she picked up on the side of the road to give me? I sat down and waited very impatiently, judging every word that she said and every move that she made. First, she handed me a piece of paper, typed out on a typewriter. It was an agreement from an old friend of hers stating that she could rent a room in the house. She finally had a place to stay again, to sleep, to be safe. "Sharon, this is great news," I said. My heart, my voice lifted up. Sharon lifted up. She said, "Pastor, because you have been so impatient and frustrated with me lately, I bought you a prayer book because I think you need it." And sure enough, she handed me one of those prayer books from the book display at the Kroger, The Power of Positive Praying. I had been a weed. And then there was Sharon. Right in front of me, a tall stalk of wheat, shining like the sun, in the middle of God's field, just as Jesus said. To weed or not to weed? So often that is the question. Our place is not to judge. Our place, our call, our vocation is to be patient, to forgive, to love one another, to go deep and keep growing. Let those who have ears to hear listen. Let us pray. God, we're so thankful that you are holy, that you are judge and jury, that you are mercy and love. We can be so weedy sometimes. Help us, God, instead, to be a tall stalk of wheat, shining in the sun. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Susanna Davis, Senior Minister of Kirkwood United Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free printed transcript of her message entitled, To Weed or Not to Weed, call us toll free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. To listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at dayone.org. And keep in mind that Day 1 depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider sending a donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day 1, we're excited to present the first of a special two-part series focusing on faith and global hunger. These programs will update our acclaimed five-part series from 2010. Our speaker next week is the Reverend Dr. David Beckman, president of Bread for the World and a Lutheran minister. His message is entitled, How God Can Use Us to End Hunger. You won't want to miss this special Day 1 broadcast. Susanna Davis offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Susanna, as Jesus explains this story of the wheat and the weeds to his disciples, you said it sounds like there's a lot of hellfire and judgment and right and wrong and who's in and who's out and gnashing of teeth, and you don't like that. But there's an important message here that might get lost, and you pointed it out. The fact that we are in a world where wheat and weeds, the good and the bad, intermingle. And it can be terribly frustrating. We want God just to go ahead and get rid of the weeds so that we can grow and thrive among the wheat. But say more about why that's really not the best way to go.
Well, this was a challenging scripture, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I have preached on it before, and every time it comes up, I find myself struggling with it again and again. One of my thoughts this time around was a recognition of how polarized our world feels right now, our communities feel, our nation feels. And I recognize that in our congregation, we may be saying, oh, we need to get rid of those weeds. Mm. And in a congregation in the same community as Kirkwood, they could be saying, oh, we need to get rid of those weeds. And potentially, we are each other's weeds. But the truth is, we are also each other's wheat, and we need each other in this world. And it would be great if life were just so black and white and so weed and wheat, and it was easy to tell between the two, and we know what to pluck and know what to keep. But Jesus, in his wisdom, in his insight, in his hope and love, helps us recognize that we need each other to grow. In our congregation, we have sort of claimed the term everyone, everyone, everyone. Mm. And for us, that means a recognition that we have space to keep growing in our understanding of God's deep love for humanity. And everyone may be somebody we really love, but everyone may be somebody we really struggle with. Mm-hmm. But in the community of faith in the body of Christ, there is room for everyone, 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 when we pay attention, when we make room in our hearts, in our lives.
You said we've all got some weeds in us, and thankfully we've got some wheat in us too, all intertwined and growing together, connected to one another in the soil of God's heart and love. In this world where, for now, we are planted, what might happen when we can really begin to appreciate the reality of our connectedness with others?
Oh my. You know, something beautiful blooms and blossoms, or something delicious comes out of that. And we recognize one another's gifts. We recognize our dependence on one another, our need for one another, but also the joy that we can share in life. And, you know, not in a way that we have to believe exactly like the other believes, but John Wesley said, if your heart is as my heart, take my hand. And and there's joy in that. There's hope in that. There's transformation for the world in that.
Susanna, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
One of the things I hope we can hang on to is the recognition within ourselves when we are able to reflect on our own responses to another, reflect on our own thoughts even of another, recognizing that all of us are in need of God's grace, that all of us have room to grow. And if we can figure out how to let God decide those weedy parts of us and those wheaty parts of us and live with an openness of kindness and real genuine connection to another, it makes our days easier. It makes our lives easier, and it certainly builds up the body of Christ.
Susanna Davis, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.